Alrighty. Okay. Let's turn to a couple places here. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and Philippians chapter 3. Romans 12, Philippians 3. Romans 12, a verse you all know very well, verses you all know very well. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, as by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice, be not conformed to this world. Go back a couple pages, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And go down to verse 29. Romans 8, 29. Following the verse that says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Notice, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Somebody's conformed. In fact, I will be conformed to the image of His Son one day, right? That said, one more, Philippians 3. Philippians 3, and this is the passage where Paul counts all things but loss, suffers the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9, 3, 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Then verse 10, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, and being made conformable unto His death. Let's pray there. Now, Father, once again we come to You here tonight. We've enjoyed Your blessings, Lord. We really have. There have been some things that have happened that have been good. We rejoice that Julie's home and seems to be doing better. Pray You'll get her back on her feet soon. We think about folks sick and folks under the weather, folks that had to work tonight. Father, we pray that You'll bless us as we've come out tonight when the world seems to be busy about celebrating something else and doing other stuff. We rejoice to be able to come here and serve Thee. We pray that You'll bless as we endeavor to open the Bible tonight. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what you just read are the only three verses in the Bible with the word conform in them, a form of the word conform, being made conformable to His death, be not conformed to this world, and so on. One of those admonitions is negative, be not conformed to the world. The other two are positive, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's a good news, that's positive news. When you got saved, you were predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. You're going to wind up just like Jesus Christ one day, right? Praise God for that. The other one was being made conformable unto His death. We're supposed to be made conformed, to be conformable to Christ in His death. That said, I actually have had those three verses written down in one of my little special black books. Actually, it's not black. This one's blue, but just a little spiral ring notebook. And been thinking about it for a few years now. I really have gone back to it a few times and try to, you know, I knew something was in there and I just never could quite piece it together. And this week things kind of fell together for me a little more. I got thinking about the fact that three times here it mentions conformed. Then I got thinking about the fact that we have, as Christians, three enemies in this world, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so I got thinking about that. And, you know, I've come to the conclusion that this little study of what you should or should not be conformed to as a Christian may very well sum up some things and get a lasso around some big ideas in a way that I never had quite looked at it before. Got thinking about the fruit we're supposed to bear the battle we're in, the trials, the tribulations, the temptations. God, thinking about the fact that we're supposed to be holy like God's holy, separated unto God, sanctified under God, glorying in the Lord, walking with Jesus Christ, growing each day in Jesus Christ. Prayer, Bible study, Bible reading, all the things that we do. And the more I thought about this and put these things together, the more I think that this may be as neat as you can wrap the package of what we're talking about tonight as I've been able to come up with. So, again, I noticed three things. First of all, be not conformed to this world. We have three, it's commonly known we Christians have three enemies in this world. One is the world, one is the flesh, one is the devil. Okay? Be not conformed to this world. Okay, well, that's the world, right? How about we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son? I'm supposed to come out of this life, when I get my new body, I'll be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Until then, I'm to be laboring to become as much like Jesus Christ as possible to be conformed to His image. Well, there's somebody else involved with that because there's somebody else that would love for me to be conformed to His image instead of Christ. That's the devil. You've got the world and you've got the devil. And then I read in Philippians chapter 3 that through these sufferings we're to be made conformable to His death. Well, don't look now, but the flesh don't like suffering. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in each one of those battles, there's an issue of God having a will for you to be conformed to something, and the devil also having a will for you to be conformed to something. So the question becomes, which conformation, not confirmation, what conformation will occur in your life? And so I'd like to talk about that for a little while. Now, these three divisions don't fall into neat little pie-cut categories. They kind of bleed over into each other. For instance, okay, one of your enemies is the flesh. Now, the flesh is what I walk in. I know that there is in me something dwelling that's good. Jesus Christ dwells in my flesh because I've received Christ as my Savior. Yet, Paul can at the same time say, in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. So, first of all, the flesh is more than just bone and muscle and fat and gristle. Okay? The flesh is an entity. Right? I mean, if we walk after the flesh, not just walking in the flesh, but walking after the flesh, that's an entity. Paul complained about how when we were lost, we followed the lusts of our flesh and of our mind. Our minds are connected to the flesh. The flesh is not just what you walk around in. The flesh is an entity. It's the old man. There's not words in the Bible talking about an old nature, but that's what it is. And when you got saved, there was still an old nature. There's a new creature, and there's a new man, but there's also an old man. The old man's supposed to be put off, the new man put on, right? That's the flesh. Now, that said, like I said, these things don't fit into neat little pie-cut categories because you have the flesh. So what is the world? If the flesh is one of your enemies, what is the world? Well, the world is another one of your enemies, but what is the world? Brethren, the world is the all of people's flesh conglomerated together, moving forward and doing whatever the flesh does, right? I mean, when we talk about the world, what are we talking about? We're talking about how people mingle. It's each individual person's flesh times 6 billion or 6.2 billion, whatever it is now. That's the flesh. That's the world. The world is how the world is reflected in trends and fads and fashions and prejudices across the populace. It's reflected in politics and in economics, opinions, debaucheries, ethnicities. That's what the world is. The world is everybody's flesh moving together. And yes, you go east and the Chinese peeled off and they became the Chinese culture because that's where their flesh collectively led them. Go down to Australia, there's an Australian culture. That's where their flesh collectively led them. Go to Africa, there are African cultures. That's where their flesh led them. But that's all the world, right? It's how flesh works together in the conglomerate to make the world. Now, on top of it, you not only have the flesh that's connected with the world, but now you have the devil, who is the god of this world. Small g god, right? You have the devil who the Bible says, actually, when you were lost, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The devil works in individual flesh. The devil works on conglomerate flesh. So, you can't draw a line between the world, the flesh, and the devil concisely because they bleed over into each other. You see what I'm saying? So, this is the way it works. You can't decide to specialize in spiritual warfare. Because spiritual warfare involves the world as well as the devil. And frankly, it involves your flesh as well as the devil. You can't specialize. You can't decide, I'm going to do this one thing. No, you have to fight all three at the same time. Now, that said, I want to talk to you tonight about being conformed. I just wanted to make sure that you understood that these don't fit into neat little concise surgical categories. There's bleeding over and overlaying and all that kind of thing, and that's all fine. First of all, look in Romans chapter 12 and our text once again, one of our texts once again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse 1 has to do with the flesh. I'll grant you that, okay? That's what I mean. These things bleed over. But notice verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. You as a Christian are not to be conformed to this world. You're not supposed to be conformed to the world. I know that modern churches, modern Christians, have a terrible time seeing that, understanding that. They think that the way they are is just fine and that the Lord had no more desire to change them beyond the new creature part. As far as outside is concerned, outside things are now considered Phariseeism. I want you to know the Lord does not want a Christian conformed to the world. The world is the enemy, and the world and the god of this world, and by the way, for that matter, your flesh, wants nothing more than that you should become conformed to the world in your thoughts, in your values, in your traditions, in your likes and dislikes, in your prejudices, in your conclusions, your fads, your fashions, your trends, your style, societal movements, cultural developments. I can think of no better thing to mention than the present love affair, if you'll forgive the word, the words, that this world has with sodomy. Sodomy today is accepted in the mainstream, not just in our country, but as never before on the face of this earth. The reason why is because the people of this world are constantly told that it's fine, it's good, what difference does it make as long as love is healthy and the love's not healthy, but there is no point you could bring up that's more where folks are more profoundly and deeply brainwashed than in the idea of sodomy. God is not for it. I'm not for throwing a brick. I'm not for killing somebody. I'm just saying, God is not for sodomy. He is not in the sodomy movement. You can like it or lump it, but that's the world. Yes, it's also the devil. Yes, it's also the flesh. But for so long now, people have been taught that it's acceptable, that now we have officially, more or less, accepted it. I use the term we loosely. Another thing like it is evolution. The world for so long has brainwashed the world that evolution is a fact and has happened, that people just now accept the quote-unquote fact that it has happened when it hasn't happened. It's never demonstrably happened. You cannot show any missing links. You cannot show any kind of progression. It has not happened. But they've decided that it has. Be not conformed to this world. Don't think like them, because they're going to mess you up. Tonight, the world has determined, in America anyway, that this is a holy day. And so now you have churches following suit. I just think that is so strange. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have Christians that now fully embrace some of the entertainment and musical and, well, entertainment idols that the world fully embraces. They're not godly. They're not saved. They're not regenerate. But you like a movie they played in, and you like a song they sing, even though you shouldn't like that kind of music. But it's brainwashing. Be not conformed to this world. Ladies and gentlemen, God does not want you conformed to this world. We were watching Little House on the Prairie the other night again, and, you know, Charles is a godly man in Little House on the Prairie. But once in a while, Hollywood sneaks through, and you can see where, you know, the blinder was pulled off for just a second, because Laura and Albert wanted to go back into town for church the second time on a Sunday. And Charles' comment, Mr. Godly, was, "Don't you think you've had enough religion for one day?" Now, all I say that for is just to say that somewhere along the way, you know, a guy's pretending to be godly when he's not. Michael Landon was not godly. He was not Charles Ingalls, you understand, okay? He's pretending to be godly in the show, and so just for a moment there, the lid was held up, and he said that comment, which was a true comment. That's how he really felt. Don't you think you've had enough religion for one day? Look, folks, this world wants nothing more than that you should be conformed to it. I have come to the conclusion a long time ago that man has a herd mentality. We have a herd mentality. We have an urge to be a part. You hear about peer pressure for teenagers. It happens long before the teenage years. It happens long after the teenage years. Okay, we, in the midst of professing to do something to be different, people wind up looking alike. Remember when it was not cool to be goth, to dress like a vampire and white face and all that kind of thing? Well, now you can go out. Those folks did that to be different. Now you can go and find entire communities of those people, because they tend to conglomerate together. We have a herd mentality. Tattoos, piercing. I remember when tattoos were not cool. I remember when piercings were not cool. I remember when wearing your pants impossibly low for physics to hold them up was not cool. But now it is cool. They did it to be different, and in becoming different, they all look the same. We have a herd mentality. Now, I want you to think about something. Tweeting. I can't understand why somebody would tweet. I weigh 250 pounds. I can't imagine tweeting. This is as close as you come to that weird New Age social consciousness, where people will actually tweet that they just sat down at some bar and had nachos and then had to go to the bathroom and then went out and had a flat tire. Who cares? It's so stupid. And I think about 300-pound football players tweeting. Tweeting is for twits. I'm telling you, tweeting is for twits. Now, back to a serious moment here. I want you to think about whether you really want to be a cow. We have a herd mentality. We herded cows. I worked with cattle my entire life until I went off to college, okay? But let me ask you, do you fear guns? Because they do, and they say you should. So scared of guns. Are you a moron? How about the guy holding the gun? In fact, if the guy's holding a knife, you better fear him again. The gun's not, it's crazy to fear a gun. It's just stupid. But the world has told them for so long, guns are dangerous, that now guns are dangerous. Be not conformed to this world. Do you think racism is one of the worst things there is in this world? Worse than war? Worse than AIDS? Worse than sexually transmitted diseases? Really? Who told you that? Do you jump when the world says frog? Are you afraid because they tell you you should be afraid? Do you think all healthy love is good? You know what that means. We're talking sodomy again. Listen, folks, what I'm saying with this is that we are to be separated. We're called to not be conformed to this world. I'm not trying to instill in you just a purely reactionary, overreactionary thing, but you're not supposed to be conformed to this world. You're not supposed to care for its opinions. They're wrong. You're not supposed to care for its educational system, for the most part, about anything eternal. It's wrong. You're not supposed to care for its wisdom. It's carnal, and it's sensual, and it's devilish, and it's not from here. It's wrong. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're called to resist conformity to the world. First of all, on holy grounds. Okay, on the basis of morality, the world will not lead you down a moral path. On the basis of modesty, on the basis of honesty, okay? The world is not honest, the world is not modest, the world is not moral, the world doesn't ever tell you the truth. It just doesn't. You should resist. I go to the health club. They have a Mardi Gras. They're going to have a Mardi Gras party. Oh, I'm going. I should, right? How is it that some folks can't resist that sort of thing? I mean, you're supposed to resist on the basis of holy grounds. But I tell you what, there comes a point, too, where I think that a Christian at some level, and again, I'm not trying to instill an overreactionary element to this, but I think that you should resist conformity just on general principles. I do not intend to buy green. If I have a choice of buying a green cleaner and a non-green cleaner, I'm buying non-green. I intend to buy normal, regular light bulbs until they no longer are available. Do you think that burning plastic in your backyard is a sin? I do not intend to ever recycle unless they make me. Because you know what? They have made a religion out of the environment. And I'm not trying to just be reactionary just to be a jerk. I intend to be reactionary just to show them that I'm not yielding to their lies and their nonsense. I think you should resist on general principles. I want more guns and more bullets, no matter what my stockpile is. I want to stockpile bullets till they turn green and the powder in them won't even fire. Because they say that I shouldn't. I don't even shop for the latest style of clothes. I can't imagine, frankly, why you care. Oh, you got to buy the double-breasted suit this year. Really? I'm still wearing the one from 5 years ago. Now, I don't know how it's breasted, to be honest with you. I just don't understand some of the impact. I am not getting a flu shot. Oh, get a flu shot, or you're going to die. No, I'm not. I've never died from the flu. I haven't had the flu in years. I go to the doctor for my little, you know, thingy with my blood and all that. He goes, oh, you're going to get a flu shot? I said, no, sir. He said, oh, you should. Because if you ever get the flu, you'll wish you had. I've had the flu before. I'm not getting a flu shot just because they say I should. I think that God gave me an immune system, and it happens to work pretty good. I'm not sure why you're trying to fix something that ain't broke. It's just strange to me. I won't tweet or Facebook. I read something here recently where they're saying one day they're going to consider you, I'm talking about national security implications, if you're one of those weirdos that doesn't Facebook. If you don't have a Facebook account, you may wind up being investigated. I ain't Facebooking. And I ain't tweeting either. Just so you know. I'm kidding and joking about this and we're laughing. But folks, the modern church has lost this battle already. I don't consider us a modern church. But I'm talking about the way churches try to move and grow now. They're not even conscious of not being conformed to this world. They're not even trying. It never crosses their radar that they will cite you Romans 12:1. But as far as not being conformed to this world, it's not even a part of their thinking. You are not supposed to be conformed to this world. I appreciate you being in church tonight because that indicates something. I appreciate that. I really, really do. See, I know who the God of this world is, and I try not to give Him more victories. I try not to hand Him more victories than I have to. And I feel like every time the world says, frog, and I jump, I've given the devil something. I feel like I've given him ground because they said, be scared, and I've gotten scared. Get a flu shot, I got a flu shot. Better watch out for those wacko Bible people. And so I watch out for wacko Bible people because they're dangerous. I just feel like every time I give something up to the devil with that I've truly given something up. Be not conformed to this world. You need to battle the world and not be conformed to it. Sometimes I believe you should just not do something just because they say you should. You say, that's weird. Well, I'm weird. So, look at something else, or look in Romans chapter 8. There was one other thing in that verse I should mention. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, get in the Bible. You're not to be conformed, you're to be transformed. You're supposed to have something better than what they say you should be afraid of, what you should run from, the immunization you haven't yet gotten. You're supposed to have something better than that. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Okay, look in Romans 8. Romans 8:29. Where you see this, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. I was foreknown. I, by my own choice, received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and was born again. Right? The moment I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, God predestinated me to be conformed to the image of His Son. One day, whether you believe it or not, I am going to be just like Jesus Christ. Now, that's a prophetic future fulfillment. In the meantime, what the Lord's dealing with me about is becoming more like Jesus Christ every day. Right? I am a new creature. I have a new nature, and that's all grand and good. I got to put the old man off, put him away, mortify the deeds of the body so that I can be right and do right and grow with Jesus Christ. Now, what I said all that for is because Jesus Christ is working on me daily to be conformed to His image. In the meanwhile, I have a battle with somebody else who wants me to be conformed to His image. The devil lost the battle for my soul. He is the adversary and the opposite of Jesus Christ. I used to be His kid, and He has no power over my soul. But it would be a great thing to rub the Lord's nose in if the devil could have me at the end of my life looking more like Him than I look like my Savior and act like my Savior. It would be a great victory for the devil to say, "Nyeh!" And then he goes to hell, goes to a lake of fire. But I'm telling you right now, as a Christian, it may not seem like much to you. That's what he's after. He wants nothing more than to rub God's nose in the fact that the devil, because God stole one of the devil's kids, I was of my father the devil. Because the Lord stole one of the devil's kids, the devil can get back into God's family and mess up his kids. It is just a malicious, malignant, hate-filled little rampage. But that's what he wants. He would like nothing more than that I should be more conformed to the devil than to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, the world, the devil. I'm battling the devil who wants me to be conformed to him. Now, I thought about a few things here. Let me give you a few things. For instance, John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." Now, I'm not lost anymore, and I have a new set of desires. I hate to tell you this, but I still have some of the old lusts around too. Right? Tell you what the devil would love to have me do. He would love for me to be run by my lusts. Now, look, I know Christians, and they may have set aside one or two particular lusts, but I know Christians that, for the most part, are run by their passions, they're run by their emotions, they're run by their lusts. Okay? I am not supposed to be conformed to the devil. I'm supposed to be conformed to Jesus Christ. But I'm in this battle. I have three enemies. The world, I'm talking about the devil right now. We'll talk about the flesh in a minute. But the Bible says, furthermore, in John 8, that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Now, I'm taught in James that, or in John, that if I hate my brother, I'm a murderer. I read where the devil spent his time tempting men. I read where the devil got up before the Lord and dealing with Joshua and accused Joshua there before his brethren. Okay? Now, I would hate to wind up being an accuser of my own brother. The devil would love for me to spend half my Christian life crossways with my brothers and sisters in Christ, disputing with them, arguing with them, accusing them, instead of praying for them, supporting them, and helping them. The devil would love to have me conformed to his image more than Jesus Christ. Be not conformed to this world, and you're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Be not conformed to the image of the devil. That's fair enough, right? The devil, furthermore, it says there in John 8 that he abode not in the truth. You know, the Bible says there's coming a day, and the days are now here, where men will not be able to endure sound doctrine. They just can't abide in the truth. Just can't abide in the light. It's just too hard. They have other things to do. They're not interested in those hard things, those negative things. There's nothing the devil wants more than for you to go someplace where you hear neat, cool, good, fluffy stuff about you week in and week out. The devil would love very much for you to go somewhere where you leave church all the time feeling good about yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, what happened to a Christian enduring sound doctrine and abiding in the truth when he's corrupt inside, he's polluted inside, he knows he's wrong, he knows he's a sinner, and he knows he needs to be dealt with and accepts the fact that God's working with him? There's nothing wrong with leaving a church service feeling worse about yourself if you need to feel worse about yourself. Sometimes you go to the doctor says, you need to lose 15 pounds because you're fat. Well, is it true? You pay him 50, 60 bucks to tell you that. Pay me 50, 60 bucks, I'll tell you. You're fat, bald, and ugly. That's worth 75. Look, folks, but we've come to a day where Christians will not endure sound doctrine. They're not interested. They would rather be conformed to the image of the devil, who would not abide in the truth. They're happier to do that than abide in the truth and be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I thought about Isaiah 14, where the devil fell. And I thought about all those self-exalting words that he spoke. I will, right? The devil would very much love for the rest of your lifetimes here for you to think about, first of all, and primarily, only yourself. He would dearly, dearly love for that to be the case. He would dearly, dearly love for you to fulfill in that 2 Timothy chapter 3. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, right? There is nothing the devil is more interested in than having you preoccupied with you and loving you and it always being about you and whether I'm getting what I deserve and all those kind of things. Think about Genesis chapter 3. Think about the Bible revealing to us the devil is subtle and cunning. He's a destroyer. He's a spoiler. Here is this woman standing in perfection in the Garden of Eden. And he comes in asking questions and ministering questions rather than answers. He's cunning. He's subtle. He tricks her. I know Christians like that. I know Christians that if you're not in their branch of Christianity, they're happy to come mess you up where you are. Remove any possibility of fruit from you. You wind up being more conformed to the image of the devil than conformed to the image of Christ. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about how you look, how you act, what you are. Matthew 4, here's the devil comes in and Jesus Christ is fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Comes in casting doubts and questions. If thou be the Son of God. I wonder if, the devil was a thorn in the Lord Jesus Christ's side. And always coming in with questions. Always coming in trying to mess something up. Always coming in corrupting. Always coming in, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, corrupting simple things. I fear lest by any means as Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Are you one that has a tendency to make simple things hard? If a simple answer suffices, do you find things wrong with the answer? And you wind up confused and messed up and defeated. Look, ladies and gentlemen, you have three enemies in this world: the world, the flesh, the devil. You're told three times to be conformed to something, and by proxy, to not be conformed to something else. Be not conformed to this world. The world is your enemy. Right? Okay, you're to be conformed one day to the image of Jesus Christ. So be not conformed to the devil. That's two of your enemies. There's a third. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And notice verse 10. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Well, I read that passage, I read about those sufferings, and I read about being made conformable unto His death, and I can tell you this right now. My flesh does not like suffering. And my flesh is not interested in dying. Right? You have three enemies: the world, the devil, and the flesh. These three things, the only three things, the only three times the word conform is used in the Word of God. It addresses those three enemies. Okay? I'm to be made conformable to His death. My flesh does not want to suffer. My flesh does not want to die. And of course, the world says, well, I shouldn't have to. And of course, the devil says, no, just serve yourself. So these enemies, they all intertwine and are intermingled. And it's not enough just to take a little pie square and say, I'm going to deal with the world, because the devil's the god of this world, and this world is filled with flesh. So you can't specialize. You've got to fight all three enemies at the same time. And you're not supposed to be conformed to any of those three things. Right? Here, like I said, it's hard on the flesh, being made conformable unto His death. My life, my flesh is supposed to be made conformable to His death. Well, I thought about some things with this, and I'll miss a lot. You realize Jesus Christ came into this world an unusual man. He came into this world for one reason. He came to die. At least the first time, right? He was a little baby born to die. For Jesus Christ's entire life, from the time He was a little child with understanding of who He was, He understood that He had a lifelong commission. It was never very far from His mind that there was a day He was going to go to a cross and die. That was the reason that He came. So I'd like you to think about that for a second, because really, after you got saved, that's where you're headed. You're supposed to be putting this flesh to death to mortify the deeds of the body every single day. Right? The flesh doesn't like it. Doesn't like it at all. Jesus Christ was selfless. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give His life a ransom for many. Right? The most natural thing in the world, this flesh wants me to conform myself to what it wants. And then the devil comes into play, and then the world comes into play and all that. But my flesh wants to do what it wants to do. It does not want me to be made conformable. It does not want to conform to Jesus Christ's death. It wants me to be selfish. It wants me to take all I can get all I can take. It wants me to serve me. The question is for a Christian, are you going to conform to what the flesh wants? Are you going to be made conformable to His death? That's really the question. Three times conformable comes up. You have three enemies in this world. All three times they're addressed. I thought about Christ. I thought about the fact that He was thwarted and tempted by the devil at every juncture in life. From the time He was conceived, the devil was trying to kill His mom. When He's ready to be born, he puts her on the back of a donkey, sends her off to Bethlehem, hoping she'll miscarry. As soon as He's born, not very long after that, Herod starts casting about, figuring out how it is to kill all these babies so he can hopefully kill this kid who's prophesied to be a king. Here is Jesus Christ. The devil tempts Him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple and hopes that and saying that the Lord would rescue him. But trying to kill it, right? All the way to the cross, where the Bible reveals in Psalm chapter 50 that the Lord was very conscious that the devil was there where He was being whipped and scourged and broken, the hair of His face being pulled off. He says, come on, mine enemy, come near me. Let's see who wins this one. But at every juncture, Jesus Christ was thwarted. And you say, well, I just get so frustrated. It just seems like every time I try to do something, something goes wrong. Welcome to life, right? If you're a child of God, You should have every expectation that anything that you do that's right would probably meet with some sort of adversity. Because I'm supposed to be living in this flesh to put this flesh down. The flesh wants me to conform to it. It wants me to lose my temper, be impatient, throw the hammer down and go do something fun, like make nachos or something, instead of doing what I'm supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying, though? Look, you're not to be made conformable to the world. You're not to conform to the devil. You're not to conform to the flesh. Jesus Christ was conspired against by the powers that be. We talk about conspiracy here. I don't know about you, but you look around now, and we live in a spooky, scary, weird day and age where it would be really easy to be a nut. I mean, you know, take me a few more notches off center, I might try to figure out how to build a bomb or something and do something constructive. So what's the point, Brother Stephen? Well, the point is, Jesus Christ was conspired against at every turn. If it wasn't Judas, it was Thomas. If it wasn't those guys, it was somebody's mama who wanted him to do something special for her son. If it wasn't that, it was the Pharisees. If it wasn't that, it was the Sadducees. If it wasn't that, it was Herod. If it wasn't that, it was Pilate. It was always somebody. And I'm called to be made conformable to his death. I'm called to go through things in my life like he went through. Not to be conformed to the flesh. Not to be conformed to what I want. Not to be conformed to my dreams, my opinions, and my prejudices. Thank you very much. He was misunderstood. He was misrepresented by his own people, by his own friends. I hate being misunderstood. I hate being misrepresented. I hate for people to think something that's wrong about something I said, meant, or did. It happened through Jesus Christ's lifetime. People said bad stuff about him from the day he was born. Oh, yeah, we counted the months. There's no way that that woman got pregnant on her wedding night or later. There's no way. It just doesn't add up. They thought he was a bastard. He wasn't a bastard. Right? I hate being talked about. I hate for people to think something that's not true. He was accused of things that he did not do or say. Folks, Jesus Christ did not lead a normal life. In his flesh, Jesus Christ did not lead a normal life. He did not have a wife. He did not have a full-time home, at least after he started his ministry. Now, I don't mean that you or I have to give up our homes, and I don't intend to give up my wife, but we get so preoccupied and so selfish with how, that church, and, you know, I could live a more normal life if I just wasn't always pressured by those people at that church. Jesus Christ did not live a normal life by those standards of the day. Listen, I'm supposed to be made conformable to his death. That has to do with my flesh. My flesh does not want to be conformed to that. My flesh wants to do what it wants to do. He said, not my will, but thine be done. My flesh is self-willed. I want to do what I want to do. I want to chase my own dreams. I want to pursue my own ambitions. I want some money. I want to do something fun more often. I want more leisure time. But I'm not called to do that. I'm not called to conform myself to the world or the devil or the flesh. I'm called to conform myself to Jesus Christ and to be made conformable unto his death. He suffered trials, troubles, sufferings. Folks, I'm going to close. But I got looking at this, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized that if we could just win the battle on conforming our flesh to what it's supposed to be conformed to, conforming ourselves to be more like Jesus Christ instead of conforming ourselves to be more like the devil, and not conforming to the world. That's victory in the Christian life. In 3 points. Right? It's not neat little surgical pie pieces, I'll grant you that. It bleeds over into other stuff. But if you just not be conformed to those 3 things, you'd be doing all right. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, we pray you help us take this seriously. I know these folks are serious. I pray you might deal with us all about something you'd have us yet do in regard to these 3 things that maybe we have not done, just have not yielded to. We're not to be conformed to this world. We certainly do not wish to be conformed to the image of the devil. We know that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the world and then the devil. And then, Father, we are supposed to be made conformable unto His death, not conformable to what our own flesh wants. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Help us, Lord, to be serious about conforming ourselves as we should. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Number 340, let's stand. Opportunity to come tonight if you'd like to. The Lord's calling you to do so, speaking with you. I have to admit, going through this week, I really don't know how well I've conformed myself to what I should be conformable to. I'd never thought about some of these things in quite this light. So maybe you hadn't either. to have my fellow in-law in service tonight and this morning. Both Don Ward's here, and was here for the girl's birthday. He's going back tomorrow, I think, but good to have him here. I'll have you close tonight in prayer, brother, if you don't mind. Thank y'all for being here today. Thank you.